Today, President Obama is laying out his latest plan to tackle climate change, this time without the help of Congress. Among the proposals he's unveiling is one that would direct the Environmental Protection Agency to change the carbon pollution standards for power plants. We're going to have more on that tomorrow, but right now we're going to focus on the effects of rising temperatures in cities. Heat, it turns out, kills more people each year in the U.S. than any other form of extreme weather, and the layout of our cities isn't helping thanks to an effect known as a heat island. Brian Stone is the director of the Urban Climate Lab at Georgia Tech. He's author of The City and the Coming Climate. And we've got an excerpt of that at hereandnow.org. But Brian, I want to start by asking you to remind us what exactly a heat island is.
So a heat island is a localized climate effect that is driven by changes in cities. And there are three specific changes. When we lose vegetation in cities, that tends to heat up the land surface because trees provide a natural cooling mechanism. And then we come over and we pave over those trees, we build roads and houses, and those kinds of materials absorb a lot of solar energy, and so that heats up the land surface as well. And then finally, we emit a lot of waste heat. Anytime you turn on a vehicle or run your air conditioning in your house, you're emitting a lot of waste heat, and so those three things can elevate temperatures in cities relative to the rural areas around them, typically by about 2 to 20 degrees is the range. In a city, a large city like Atlanta, it might be 5 to 8 degrees on any day.
And it really makes that much of a difference, just the tree part of it.
The tree part of it tends to be the major driver in regions that are naturally forested. Cutting down trees really plays a major effect because it essentially reduces the amount of moisture that's available in cities, and that moisture is an important cooling mechanism for cities.
Because, of course, I think when I sit underneath a tree, I'll be cooler because there'll be some shade, but you're saying that there's this moisture effect that is very different than that.
Yeah, I mean, shading is critical. But that's actually not a significant effect as just the release of water vapor by trees. It's essentially evaporation. We call it evapotranspiration when it happens in trees. And that is using incoming solar energy to evaporate the water. And that energy is locked up in the water and it's transported up in the atmosphere and it carries that heat away from us. So it's a really important process.
Now, if you want to combat this problem, can you just plant a tree here or a tree there? Or do you have to have a park? What works best?
It's a great question. And so we are trying to answer some basic questions for cities that are confronting rapid warming because of the heat island. And one of those questions is, how many trees should you plant? Where should you plant them? What species of trees? And those are all actually more complex questions than you might imagine. But planting trees here and there is really not going to be sufficient. Large cities need to be planting really probably hundreds of thousands of trees to measurably affect this.
You have pointed to Louisville, Kentucky as the worst example of a heat island. Explain that. What is wrong with Louisville?
I hate to point to Louisville. My wife's from Louisville, and so it's a city that I'm fond of, but it just we keep an index of the most rapidly warming cities, which we define as the cities where heat islands are growing the most rapidly. And Louisville, Kentucky happens to be at the top of that index. It appears to be for a couple reasons. There's some interesting meteorology in the Ohio River Valley where there's lots of stagnant air mass systems. And so that creates kind of hot weather in general. And the city doesn't have anything to do with that. But in Louisville, in particular, there's a very sparse tree canopy cover. And if you look at the tree cover downtown in particular, it's one of the lowest tree covers that we see of large cities in the United States, at least in areas that are naturally forested.
27% there of a tree canopy compared with, I think it's what, 50 to 60% in a place like Atlanta where you are now.
Yeah, and it depends on whether we're looking just at the downtown district or the metro region as a whole. But for the most part, compared to Atlanta, Louisville's tree canopy is about half of what we see downtown. And so an interesting aspect of that is that Louisville is also one of the only cities that lacks a tree protection ordinance. And so there are really not policies in place that are protecting those trees that are lost from development, but they're also lost in storms and all kinds of natural ways trees die. And there's not a very clear process to replant those trees. And so that appears to be contributing too.
So if you think about another city like New York, it's got Central Park, which is enormous and filled with trees right in the middle. And yet it gets really hot in New York City.
It's getting hot everywhere. And so I don't want to overplay the role of tree planting. I mean, tree planting is one of the clear policies we can pursue in most U.S. cities to address warming. It's a short-term policy. We can make a difference in a relatively short period of time. So all cities are warming. We're warming because the planet is warming. But what I try to emphasize is that large cities are warming typically at twice the rate of the planet. And so we're really confronting some near-term public health issues, infrastructure issues. We've seen this in recent years with heat waves, which can lead to blackouts and shut down airports and transportation systems and lots of issues. New York happens to be a city that is extremely high density, but they've been focused on heat island mitigation there for quite some time and are currently focused on planting about 1 million trees. And that's as aggressive as any city in the United States.
Who else is doing a good job? What is a city that you would say is an example? Because New York is so unique in so many ways.
Chicago is probably the leading example of actively anticipating rising threats of heat. Your listeners may recall back in 1995, there was a really severe heat wave in Chicago, and about 800 people perished in that heat wave. And so since that time, the city has been very aware of the acute threat that heat waves can pose to a city. And so they have a range of programs that are focused on dealing with heat management, stormwater management, but they also know it's something that they can manage over time. So Chicago would be on that list. There are other cities. San Francisco tends to be very progressive in terms of trying to manage environmental issues. Seattle's on that list. A surprising city perhaps is Austin, Texas. Another strategy we haven't talked about is to increase the reflectivity of cities through what we call cool roofing and cool paving strategies. And Austin, Texas has one of the most stringent standards on raising the reflectivity of their building rooftops because it's in a naturally warm area.
Well, so what should people do? Individuals, maybe they live in the suburbs rather than the city. Should they just go out in their backyard and plant some more trees?
To some degree, yes. I mean, one of the aspects that I think is encouraging about the urban heat island effect and what I call kind of localized urban climate change is that it's empowering that individuals can play a role in cooling down their own piece of land if they own a home or their own neighborhoods. Planting trees is a big piece of that, but it can be any kind of vegetation. Using more reflective roofing materials and paving materials. And then anything you can do to reduce energy not only reduces greenhouse gases, which contribute to this larger global issue, but it also contributes to reducing waste heat. And waste heat is a really significant driver of the heat island in cities. There are lots of things cities can do in a very short period of time to deal with rising temperatures, which it will take a very long time to deal with this by dealing with greenhouse gases alone.
Brian Stone is director of the Urban Climate Lab at Georgia Tech. He's also the author of The City and the Coming Climate. Brian, thanks so much.
Hey, Jeremy, it's been a thrill to talk to you. Thanks so much.
And up next, he was one of the bad boys of tennis, but he makes no bones about it in his new memoir. Robin is going to talk with Jimmy Connors. You're listening to Here and Now.